Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
On the third and one, the fourth and one, you guys have gotten stopped there a couple times this season. Would you feel comfortable sneaking it, and is that something that you might voice to Alex?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it was a good quarterback sneaker in college. A big dude. I'm heavier than people think. So I think there's missing maybe a conversation for that. And I think it's tough, to stop, 6'5" dude, for 1 yard. So, but also at the same time, Mondre's, pretty dang good at getting 1 yard as well. So it's unfortunate that it happened. But definitely there's a time and place for it.
That's Drake May answering the question that Gerard Mayo said, or rather answered. You said it, not me. Do you think basically you should have been given the ball on third and one or fourth and one when the Patriots had the ball within the 10-yard line and needed a score early in the second half? A series of plays that was positively butchered. Great play calling down the field. Antonio Gibson utilizing his speed, getting outside the box, running down the sidelines. I thought he had first and goal. Turns out he didn't. Spoiler alert. And then on third and one and fourth and one, the play call, people are going to say, it's football. You win in the trenches. Assert your will. Get that yard. All right. But a little creative play calling isn't such a bad thing. Earlier in the game, when they did get fourth and one at midfield, yep. Andy, running outside with Ramondre Stevenson, which left all of us going, why him? He's not an outside, not an outside zone guy. He's a between the tackles, but, big numbers guy. Third and one, I love the 7-step drop back and play action because it was risky. It was good, we're going to coach aggressive here. Problem is, that's right, no receivers could get open all day. So, yeah, so that didn't
all day? Work out for them.
Pretty much all day.
Month?
All year.
All year. That's what I was looking for. They stink.
Boy, people, I got to say.
Wait a minute, 1 minute. I did kind of like the late burst for Kendrick Bourne to catch the 37-yarder from May late down the right sideline.
Two nice plays late in the fourth quarter.
But the burst in particular, the ball was, for a second, I thought was going to be a little overthrown, and he had a little extra gear to go get it. That was a nice sign. For those of us that are looking forward already, sort of looking forward, to 2025.
What are you looking more forward to, the end of this season or next season?
The end of this season. Yeah. Oh, my God, the end of this season. That was a bad game. It was weird because there were more points.
Very bad.
In the end, but it felt like forever it was a 16-3 game or whatever the hell it was, and it was just kind of meh there. And I don't think much of the Cardinals. I still don't think much of Kyler Murray. That interception he tried to throw to our guy, Jonathan Jones, was what I think of Kyler Murray. Just doing dumbass stuff at the worst time.
Yeah, Gonzo
he's a great athlete,
nice.
But.
Yeah, for sure. Gonzo played great against Marvin Harrison Jr., a couple of big breakups for him as well.
Tremendous.
Chad Ryland gets his revenge against the team that cut him loose after one season. Joey Sly misses another field goal. We could very well be seeing the end of the Sly era. Could be John Parker Romo time next week, Andy.
No, thanks.
Back to the phones week. That's a real person, by the way.
I don't want to learn a new kicker in the last three games of the season. That seems like a waste of my mental energies.
Now, speaking of utilizing your mental energies appropriately, here's Jake in Boston, everybody. Hello, Jake.
Oh, boy.
You guys want to know what Gerard does well? He kisses Robert's backside. That's what he does well.
Oh.
Do you remember 35 years ago when we used to hate this franchise? Because by virtue of the NFL TV rules, we got to watch this crap instead of the best game of the week. And thank God for Red Zone. Thank God it exists because it saved us today. And then also 30 years ago, do you remember when Jim Baker used to write about TV ratings for the Globe? And do you think that beta male Chad Finn is going to betray the craft in some way and completely avoid talking about what I'm really fascinated about, which was what was the rating and how many viewers for this game versus the Eagles, Steelers, and just Red Zone in general? Because that number fascinates me. Anyways, my main point, Joe Tooney and Ted Karras have played in 8 of the last 9 Super Bowls. The last 5 weren't for you. Your enemies poached them from you, two players that you developed to protect young quarterbacks in Burrow and Mahomes. And on that note, I do not want to hear Travis Hunter's name at all for the next 5 months, given that first sack. Travis Hunter will get hurt trying to be the next Deion. He's going to cry for an extension in year two, like most of these diva skill positions will. You want a wide receiver, you're going to see the wide receiver you should have drafted in the second round when the Chargers come in here, and Ladd McConkey. Yep. Winning starts from the lines. The O-line, the D-line, right now you suck on both. So when I saw Jonathan talking about his offensive coordinator, it really sucks with the fact that you wouldn't spend a dime on your offensive line, because that would be a very different offense if you had a competent offensive line instead of a bunch of borderline homeless people trying to position themselves as a credible football team.
Thank you very much, Jake.
He even missed a point. I mean,
what was the
point? He missed the fact that Jonah Williams, one of the best free agents on the market at the tackle position, led the way for a 50-something yard run for James Conner to open the game, and then fell on a touchdown to score a touchdown. A tackle you could have had made two massively competent plays, and
the Patriots,
you didn't want him.
Patriots have had a lot of the former players shoving it in their face, or rather people they were linked to or supposedly interested in, like, why would anyone want to trade for Cooper Kupp? Cool, he'll just go 7 for 111 and a touchdown against you. That's fine. Right. Chad Ryland, I don't want that kicker. That guy sucks last year. Okay, he'll just make all three field goals this week, and then our guy will miss one.
Yep.
Jonah Williams, we don't sign him. I don't need another third left tackle. Okay, well, he's playing pretty well for the Cardinals, and we have Vedarian Lowe. So
you got that going for you.
Yeah, who Ross Tucker says is the problem.
Legitimately, he's not the problem. He's one of the, I would say, rather put it, he's one of the problems.
Yeah,
he just doesn't belong as a starting left tackle. It's not his fault.
Right. And just like it's not Ben Brown's fault, he's not a starting center.
Yeah, but he shouldn't snap it off his own ass.
Yeah, we've all done it.
Have we?
No, I actually haven't. But Ross Tucker said he had.
Okay, the Patriots have a problem, guys. And the problem right now is the left tackle.
Yes, it is, Ross.
No, not right now. Not right now. Been a problem for quite some time, Ross. I know you get to watch other crappy games week to week as the sixth crew for CBS. We watch the same crappy team, Groundhog Day, every single effing week. It's the same crap over and over. And you know how I know it's starting to wear on people? Because Drake May just acknowledged it. He's like, feels like we're doing the same things, making the same mistakes.
Yeah, he said they had a good practice, that things look good out there. They got in the game. Again, how
holding
can nobody
call,
get through
Layden
to
Robinson,
them situationally?
Yeah, no, it's that's why I don't want to start doing this, but Scott Peters, they're terrible linemen. But has Scott Peters made them better as the years gone on? Have they gotten better? I don't know that I feel that. Although I will say, while we're crapping all over Scott Peters and his offensive linemen, they did run the ball pretty well today. Both Gibson and Stevenson had nice days on the ground, but just too many mistakes from that group and at costly times. You know I'm a butterfly effect guy, Fitzy. That opening drive, if you don't get that Layden Robinson penalty and you maybe get a touchdown to open the game, you're feeling good. You're flying high. Maybe Kyler Murray makes mistakes. That game could play out differently, but Layden Robinson holding, missed field goal, lose game.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Owen's in Westford. Hi, Owen. How are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm not going to go back 20 or 30 years like that last caller, but I say the last three or four with Belichick, he's the one that opened up this roster. He's the one that put very, very poor drafting. And, yes, they didn't get much in this past draft, but just I still blame Belichick for this whole mess, and they kept him way too long. And the only good bright spot is Drake May. The offensive line's the worst I've been watching football a lot of years, and they shouldn't be in the NFL, except for maybe one or two of them.
And backups Agreed. Likely at best. Yeah, maybe three tops. Thank you, Owen. Appreciate the call.
No, but lots of, snarky D-bags on Twitter are like, oh, how did Christian Gonzalez get here? I thought Belichick couldn't draft. Okay, great. Yep.
He shouldn't have been available because not only did he trade back, but also Washington crapped the bed so hard going for Emmanuel Forbes before the Patriots could have gotten Gonzalez. Did anyone claim Forbes, by the way?
I believe somebody did. Yeah, somebody did. I saw him get claimed. Was not the Patriots. I probably would have if I were the Patriots. Worth a shot.
He was claimed by the Rams.
Rams. Good. Watch. He'll turn into the next Jalen Ramsey out there with Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Now that guy can coach.
You know the other thing?
Yeah. What's the other thing I need to know?
How come no one ever says, if Belichick knew Gonzalez was so good, why'd he trade down?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
why did you just get him when you could have?
Because you clearly risked losing him. I don't care how good your intel and your projections and your pro personnel department's mock drafts are, you risk losing him by trading down. So if you knew he was going to be this damn good, you're a moron for risking it and trading down. A schmuck. I'll use his former boss's words against him. You're a schmuck for trading down.
Schmuckish for sure. Yeah, exactly. Oh, we played the Jets. Yeah, the Broderick Jones went to Pittsburgh.
Then you're a real schmuck.
Yeah. If you knew Christian Gonzalez was this good and you risked losing him, you're a real schmuck. Right?
You know who's not a real schmuck? Jim in Manchester. Jimmy. Hi, Jim.
Thanks a lot. Hey, I just want to touch base. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, and that kind of sucks too.
We know each other.
I do not think that Alex Van Pelt is the problem here. I do not. You know, and I feel bad for Drake May. I mean, how much is this guy going to take before he's just boiled over?
You know, does it sound like he's starting to get have a little too much of it?
Absolutely, he's already gone down that road, Jimmy. The press conference before the game this week, he said something to the effect of, you know, you win three games and now this is the second year in a row, you start to worry, he said, about how things are going with this. The guy just got here and he's already worried that he's stuck with a loser bum organization. That's a concern for your franchise quarterback.
He's probably wishing he's in Chapel Hill right now with Belichick. Probably
yeah, is there like a red shirt where you can go back to school?
1 year left.
I don't know.
Can you go? Is the Jim? Does the transfer portal allow you to go from the pros back to college?
I don't know. If there was, you know, I would have done it.
That's funny.
Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. A little levity always goes a long way after watching that game and this team. Yeah, Andy. During the bye week, he talked about Drake May. I'm not sure if Joe Braverman has the cut ready. Joe, once again, if you don't, it's not your fault. The cut about, you know, like you referenced previously, losing starts to wear on you and you don't want to have another season like this. And then he just basically says the same thing in the postgame. Joe, if you happen to have that available, that line about losing from the postgame by chance? All right.
How about no? He's out looking for drones in the sky.
And hey, what's up with all the drones?
Yeah, it wears on you for sure. I think it's just frustrating. It's, you know, long flight back, and really can't do nothing else but just think about the game. You know, watch the game on your iPad, and I'm thinking about ways I could, throughout the week, I could talk to a guy that can make a difference in the game. Maybe, you know, hit the lineman here on one thing, or maybe the receivers here, or the running back, Mondre, or these guys. Maybe tell them something extra throughout the week to maybe help, you know, shift things or make that play different. But really just think it's collective. It's collective effort, and those guys are keeping a good attitude. You know, so really just hard on myself on things, and that's, you know, really just part of the attitude.
Now, see, that's leadership right there, Andy. That's accountability. He's being honest. Like, the competitor in me wants you to know that this sucks, and I'm not happy with this, and I'm not having as much fun as I should be right now because I'm doing the best I can. However, I'm not throwing anyone else under the bus. I will stand here, and I will say I could do better. What could I say to my linemen? What can we do to make practice better? That's leadership and accountability. That's exactly like Mayo talks about. Accountability is this. Accountability, like, this is what it is. No, accountability is actually just standing up there, facing the music and saying, I need to do better, even when we all know he is not the problem nor anything resembling a source of it.
You're and absolutely right.
No, you didn't catch me in a cough. You were going to. Okay. I don't cough. I got a cough button here.
As you were saying, we got a break.
He is supposed to be the builder of relationships, the leader of men, the culture setter, and he isn't.
617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We have a few lines open if you want to jump in here in the Six Rings postgame show. We will still get to the Cars for Kids player of the game. Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down. More of your phone calls and continue to review the game. What's to come for the Patriots? How rough things could get next week in Buffalo. But first, it was a wild day in the National Football League, especially during the 4 o'clock window. And nobody knows football window dressing better than producer Joe Braverman.
Now, Here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, fresh off the bye week, the results stayed exactly the same. Patriots fall to the Cardinals in Arizona. 30-17 is your final score. The offense could not move the ball until it was garbage time, and the defense struggled once again. They allowed nearly 400 yards to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals offense. Drake May was accurate, but he was not throwing the ball and moving the ball down the field just like the rest of the offense. 19-23, 202 yards. He threw a touchdown on a little shovel pass to DeMario Douglas. He also ran one in for a touchdown in some garbage time. He also had a tough luck interception that went off of Kayshon Boutte's hands. The Pats now fall to 3-11 as they'll head up to Buffalo to face the Bills for a divisional showdown next week. Some other scores going around in the NFL for Week 15. The Bills, in another high-scoring affair, knocked off the Lions 48-42 was your final score for that one. Also, a big matchup was the Steelers and the Eagles, and it was Philly who came out on top of that one, 27-13. And the Chiefs beat the Cleveland Browns 21-7, but they did lose Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter to an ankle injury. And the Texans survived against the Miami Dolphins 20-12. The Sunday slate of games wraps up with the Packers taking on the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. We'll join that game in progress following the Six Rings postgame show at 9 o'clock. You can listen to that right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM via Westwood One. The Celtics were out in D.C. taking on the Wizards, and that game just went final a couple of minutes ago, 112-98. The Celtics on top. They win that game. Jason Tatum led the way for the Seas with 28 points. Peyton Pritchard had 15 off the bench, and Sam Hauser had 12 off the bench. The Celtics as a team made 18 threes. And the Bruins made easy work of the Vancouver Canucks on the road, 5-1. The road trip will continue again in Calgary against the Flames on Tuesday night. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Second down and three. They hand it off to Dortch. Dortch to his left, trying to get to the edge. And he's inside the five, down to the one. He fumbled the ball. And it goes out of the back of the end zone. Jonah Williams fell on top of it.
That ball is out.
Yes.
That is going to be a touchback.
Now the officials are conferring.
This is a huge call, and the call on the field matters a great deal when we find out what it is.
Well, the key is
that the ball was fumbled prior to the runner reaching the end zone. It was recovered in the end zone by an offensive player, resulting in a touchdown.
That was, from today's game, the first touchdown on the board for the Cardinals, scored by, that's right, left tackle Jonah Williams, who was just out there waiting for a team to sign him. And the weirdest thing was, a team that actually had some tackle depth in the Arizona Cardinals extended a very modest proposal to him, which he said yes to, because he never heard from the New England Patriots, because they thought, we're fine with Chucks and Lowe. Our new afternoon show, Andy, starting January 1st here on WEI.
Son of a... Which is also what people are doing during Patriots game. Chucks and Lowe.
Chucks and Blow. That's a... God. What a mess. You know, I got to say, it does make our lives easier, and it's always more fun to hear from the good people of Pats Nation and our wonderful WEEI listenership. I never thought for a game that blew lunch the way that today's game did, Andy, a 4:30 kick, a 7:15 finish, that the lines would be as jammed as they are, like your commute in, like Rhode Island traffic, like 93 heading in from Quincy to Boston at 8:15 in the morning. But I'm glad to see that people watch today's game. You know what it is? They took the week off. They came back and they said, if the team has told me they're going to play with more poise, more purpose, a greater sense of energy, that they're going to be more focused, more energized, and it's going to be a more professional operation, and this is what I get, you know what? All of you have good reason to be angry, and we are here for you. Like my guy, Walter, who's out in Worcester. Hi, Walter.
Hey, guys. You know, I was wrong when I called into the producer because I called Gerard Mayo a bozo, and he's not. He's a buffoon. The guy is a walking Yogi Berra quote. It's deja vu all over again with him because tomorrow he's going to have to walk back a comment again on a Monday. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's a fun guy to watch a game with, have a beer, but not leading a team just a few years ago, a few years removed from being a legacy. I know he's not going to be fired immediately, like I said to Joe Braverman, but it's more than likely he's going to be back next year. And that's just crazy. When your franchise QB, just several games into his career, less than a year, is already looking and sounding like Eeyore, that's a problem. Get rid of Mayo. I'm out.
Thank you, Walter. Andy, do we expect any change this week? Like, will the Crafts be so frustrated they need to take a pelt for the fans?
No, I don't think so. That would reek of desperation. That is, while maybe appropriate on some level, I think would be unnerving. I think would probably do more damage than good. There are already a lot of people
that they're in panic mode.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that already question the way they handled last January and the way they've handled sort of themselves throughout this transition to the post Belichick era. And I think that would be a symbol of instability that would not be good for anyone.
So they're going to look. We had one caller earlier who was a Browns fan say AVP is not your fault. There are many greater problems here on this team. They could be organizational. It could be the head coach. It could be the talent. I hate to say, like, sometimes it's not just, oh, the milk is bad in this, or you put too much salt in the food. Chances are, if you don't know how to cook, you don't know how to cook. And so there could be a lot of different issues with your menu prep and the dish that you serve. Here it is not just the head coach. It's also not just the defensive coordinator. It's also not just the offensive coordinator. It's not just the executive vice president or player personnel. It's everybody. You got a lot of people that are new at their job or not very good at it, or, God forbid, both. And that is a very painful truth. And now this is what you get. A really bad football team. One of our callers earlier said, I don't really see how we steer out of this anytime soon. I agree. I disagree with him. You're not just a left tackle or a Travis Hunter or a T. Higgins. Nice game from him today, by the way. Away from fixing this problem. You may be multiple off seasons away from solving this issue. That should be alarming to people.
You may be, but I also don't discount the ability to turn it around more quickly than that. And depending on what they do, I'm assuming Mayo is back, and I'm assuming they're going to make some significant changes on his coaching staff. But even under that umbrella, if you nail the third pick in the draft, let's just assume they have the third pick in the draft.
Sure.
You nail that the way you've nailed Gonzalez and May. So now we add a third whatever. I don't care if it's Will Campbell. I don't care if it's Travis Hunter. Whatever. You know, anybody. If you get another blue chipper that we're raving about week after week how good he is, and then you hit in free agency a little bit, which you should. If you spend $130 million, we should be saying good things about some of the return on that.
And don't not go into this free agency period with all that money in your pocket and say, well, we probably should save some of it in case a trade becomes... No. If you go to the casino with a certain amount of money in your pocket, you have a budget, and you say, like, I'm comfortable losing this $250, $500, whatever, and I'm going to risk it. Then risk it. Don't go in there and half-ass it. No half measure. No.
Well, but the difference is you go into a casino knowing what's available, right? You know the odds in every game, and you know there's chances to win and lose money, all that.
You should know the odds, too. Like, this guard is really good. He's going to be an upgrade over Cole Strange.
But, like, Garrett Bowles already off the market. So the market
smart man
is already
got paid.
Absolutely. And the Broncos, smart team, had a young offensive lineman at a marquee position and said, I'm going to pay him and keep him.
32 is young, but he's still good.
I mean, young enough. I mean, a guy that can, I'd take him.
I'd take a 52-year-old Garrett Bowles on this team.
Garrett Bowles is 32?
Yeah.
Really?
He's an old dude. He's good, though.
You sure about that? I'm going to look that up. Anyway, but the market, just to spend money for the sake of spending money, I don't love either. You know what I do love? Remember Andy Hart's updated plan, which involved trading for Micah Parsons? Yep. A lot more talk of Micah Parsons being traded coming out of Dallas. I know they're sort of trying to dispute it.
Yeah, but now they're turning things around, and their defense is getting good, and if they didn't just have Cooper Rutt, like...
Yeah, but the problem is they have...
They were
so
playing the Panthers,
contracts.
Fitzy. Let's pump the brakes.
The Panthers have been plucky the last couple of weeks, Joe. Better than the Patriots,
plucky.
Even.
I got something you can pluck right here.
No one wants to hear about that.
It's and not even 9 o'clock.
Hey, and the funny thing is I'd probably need tweezers to pluck it. Oh, all right. Kevin's in New York. Hi, Kevin. How are you? Hey, you asked. You got it. What's up, Kev? Kevin.
Come on.
Or should I say it like Catherine O'Hara? Kevin! Well, there goes Kevin. All right, let's move on. How about Greg in Rhode Island? Hi, Greg.
Hey, so I think a lot of Patriots fans believe we found our quarterback, but who's to say that our quarterback here has found the team he wants to be on? I don't think Kraft or the rest of the team have done anything to make him want to stay here. I'm going to hang up. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I would just say it's basically unprecedented for a young, talented quarterback to leave a football team.
Yeah, like Eli Manning willed his way onto the Giants thanks to his daddy.
No, but that was before he played.
I know, but then still, they I'm talking about the first year in his contract. Yeah.
No, but screw that. It has never happened. So you would be historically asinine if you lost Drake May. It is the only close example is Drew Brees, who blew out his labrum and was damaged goods before he hit the open market, went to New Orleans, and they got Phillip Rivers in aforementioned Eli Manning deal.
That's funny how that worked out for them, even though they screwed the pooch. That's just like San Francisco lucking into Brock Purdy, even though they screwed the pooch with whatever the hell his name is there.
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance, thank you. Side question to this. Do you think Nick Saban would still be coaching professional football if he didn't say no to the medicals of Drew Brees?
Maybe, but probably not.
He screwed himself pretty bad with that one.
He did, but he also, I just think he worked in college better than he worked in the NFL, and his dictatorial ways, it's just like Bill's dictatorial ways may not have worked had Mo Lewis not hit Drew Bledsoe. Like, that's it fell into place for, you know what I mean? I think both of them, it just, that style, like, may not have worked, and Bill found Tom Brady at the right time, and it all came together properly. Nick Saban didn't. Now, could Drew Brees have been the Tom Brady to that relationship? I tend to doubt it, but he's the only example of a end of contract franchise Hall of Fame type quarterback, because these other guys, teams move on. Like Baker Mayfield, whatever you think of him now, the Browns moved on from Baker Mayfield.
You should think a lot of good things about Baker Mayfield after the way that they came on today. They were down 17-13 to the Chargers. Final, Tampa 40, Chargers 17. Damn.
So if Drake May is what we think he is, the Patriots are going to pay him somewhere in the range of, I don't know, $350, $400 million, whatever it is, by the time he reaches his, after his third season, those discussions will begin. And by the way, that's as soon as you can get them. You can't get a new contract.
Can't pay him now.
No, you can't pay any player before, they have to have played three seasons.
Right. And also, you can't take him to arbitration and say he's only worth X amount of dollars like the Red Sox. Hey, Mookie Betts, it looks like you want to be a bowler more than you want it to be a... Oh, boy. Who are you more frustrated with, the Red Sox or the Patriots? 617? Kevin's back. Oh, there's Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Kevin?
Son of a bitch.
Did it twice, Kevin. That's it.
Why
I'm not
keep
getting
going
again.
To him? Stop it.
All right, Preston's in Boston. Hi, Preston. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, man?
I'll keep it short. I think you nailed it. There's a lot of problems on this team. I think you're giving Drake May a little too much credit for not just trashing the team, but saying like he's discouraged after eight games. And I think if you said the last quarterback was doing this after eight games, you'd be calling him a crybaby. But that being said, the kid is talented. He's going to work through. A lot of good quarterbacks had tough first years, losing records. I think it's part of the process. I think in 2 years, you're going to look at this team and be a lot better place. Draft obviously matters, but I think patience is going to matter. And I think that people are a little too discouraged right now. That's all I got.
I agree.
All right, thanks, Preston. Appreciate that.
It's a good call. I do think people are too discouraged. Everything is snowballing. Everything needs to be blown up. Everything's awful. Everything needs to go.
Well, they would have liked to have seen a better effort tonight, Andy. That was a putrid effort by the Patriots.
I think their effort was fine. I think they suck. I don't think anybody quit. I think they suck. Like, I think Jelani Tavai and Kyle Duggar were trying to make tackles. They're just not playing very well.
Why could they make tackles last year and the year before? Now, all of a sudden, like, did something fly over the stadium and then just, like did they all look into the big red light from Men in Black and they all just forgot how to tackle?
Well, sometimes it's, you know, leverage. Like, you're supposed to be you're responsible for a certain gap, and maybe the guy responsible for another gap gets killed and you try to cover his ass. It looks like you missed a tackle, but technically you're trying to cover his ass. So I think there could be some of that, but they're not playing very well right now. And I think it is snowballing for the negative, but I don't know. I didn't feel like effort was lacking today. I thought effort was the least of their problems. It was execution. It was ability. It was talent. It was play calling. It was momentum. It was penalties. It was all of those things.
Spee is out in Fresno. One more call before the break. What's up, Spee?
Greetings, friends. Greetings, masters of industry. Chooks and Blow, definitely a worse cop duo than Starsky and Hutch, than Cagney and Lacey, and a worse cop duo than Eric Estrada as Frank Puncherello, and also his partner, Fitzy. Can you get that name and that actor?
John, what's his name as
Baker? John Baker.
Ponch and John.
Seven, Mary, three, and four.
What was his name? I forget.
Oh, why don't you just go on a little rant or ask some questions about our good friend Marcus Jones, who I'm not saying that he's as integral to this team in this present state or its future state as our good friend Drake or Gonzo. But I imagine him on offense to be something that, you know, could be a consistent piece on the offense. What does he have, an 18-yard catch and run today? I was confused earlier this season when AVP was signaling that he wasn't aware of Marcus Jones' prior offensive snaps before the season. It really seemed very strange to me for a team that, according to its head coach, puts a premium on collaboration and communication. I just wanted to throw that little potpourri, that little hodgepodge your way. What is Marcus Jones for this team in the future? And I'll let it ride at that.
All right. Thank you very much. California Highway Patrol show or system. What is Marcus Jones in the future? I don't know. You keep saying that he's not a very good cornerback, so he should be a punt returner and an offensive asset. He's fine at corner.
I'm not sure he's even fine. I think he's a backup corner. First of all, he's a stud punt returner. He's a backup
corner. He's the NFL,
corner.
As they told us during the game today.
He's a backup corner, like a rotational top five type corner, in my opinion. And I think he should be a complementary offensive weapon. I don't think you want him out there as your primary slot receiver, your primary third down back. But I can envision 8 to 10 snaps a game for him offensively. Uh-huh. And I think that's what he should be. And you know,
backups. So primary punt returner, 8 to 10 snaps at receiver, and a reserve corner. That guy has a role on this team. They need that.
Certainly, since we're talking about we can't come up with a list of 10 players we want to keep, I think a guy like that is probably in your 10 players you want to keep.
I would say most certainly. As far as the rest of everything, look, you know, I may push back a little bit on the effort was okay. Maybe the effort was there at first. Yes, of course they kind of stink. They lack the talent. So you're saying it's talent over effort at this point. But could it not even matter if the coaching is that bad, Andy?
Yeah, I don't know that the coaching is that bad. I think the coaching is a problem at times, but I think the coaching would look better with better talent. Like AVP has looked better. You know why? Because May has played. May has played.
Because he made him look better.
He's made him look better. So if you could get better talent at defensive line and linebacker, cornerback, safety, whatever, would DeMarcus Covington suddenly look better? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he would look better. Just like Scott Peters would look better if you put a couple starting caliber offensive linemen out there.
I was just going to say, anyone who would start on any other team in the NFL or on his offensive line?
Yes.
Yeah, probably
so.
617-779-7937 is your telephone number here at WEEI, and especially tonight for texting and calling into the Six Rings postgame show. One more break. When we come back, we'll get our thumbs up, thumbs down, a quick preview of Pats at Bills next week. Ugh, uncomfortable emoji, and so much more. The Six Rings postgame show is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. It's all available at McFarlandEnergy.com. Don't go anywhere. Six Rings returns. Fans, as we look to put a bow and a button and a wrapper on this something or other, we got two little quickies to give you. We got the Cars for Kids player of the game, and of course, as always, Andy's thumbs up and thumbs down. Probably going to be a lot more thumbs down than thumbs up, but who am I to predict? Andy, take it away.
Thumbs up, real quick. Christian Gonzalez, awesome. Ran all over the field with Marvin Harrison Jr., gave up one catch early on a rub route. Other than that, was in his pants, no separation. Drake May, very good accuracy, short passes, did what he could do. The little shovel pass on the goal line was another recruitment video play, fun play. And I'm going with the running backs as well. Stevenson, Gibson both ran hard, both were productive. The downside, Kyle Duggar, we already talked about him. Jelani Tavai, both struggled. They, to me, led a whole group of poor tackling. Vidarian Lowe, you were the poster boy for more problems with the offensive line. You weren't alone. Christian Barmore, I'm going to say it, continues to just be out there in body but not an impact. And then the thumbs down, really. The game was decided. Coach Mayo talked about this, third down. You went 0 for 6. They went like 9 of 14. That you just can't win football games that way. So that's it. Now get to the car. Cars for Kids, player of the game.
Cars for Kids, player of the game is brought to you, of course, by our friends at Cars for Kids. The easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That cars with a K. That's cars with a K. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. This is a challenging game to have a Cars for Kids player of the game. I mean, there is one in every game, but who would you give it to this week?
I'm going with Gonzo. I think that matchup next
on his
list. No
kidding, so would I.
Yeah, checking it off. I thought he was really good, and that's supposed to be one of the good young receivers in the game, although he doesn't get a lot of separation. Certainly didn't get much separation from Gonzo. And that play late in the end zone where it looked like it was a touchdown for Harrison and he punched it out, that is the classic Patriots late DB breakup. Gonzo's a star.
That is the voice of Andy Hart at Jumbo Hart. You can hear him tomorrow on the WEEI Afternoon Show, where they'll be talking alongside with Christian Arcand to Jonathan Jones and, of course, Patriots quarterback Drake May. Tomorrow is a WEEI Patriots Monday, so you'll have Mayo on the morning show as well. Christian Gonzalez on the midday show. I'm at Fitzy GFY. If you liked the show, congratulate Joe. If you didn't, blame Braverman. Final score, Cardinals 30, Patriots 17. This has been the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
Time. Time for you to-
Drake May, bitch. Yeah.